On this Mubarak Friday, it is mentioned we just finished Eid now. When we know how great and auspicious that day of Eid is, but the day of Jumu'ah is greater than both the Eids put together. Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, both Eids together are not even equal to one day of the day of Jumu'ah. And we get this day every week of the year. Other religions, they have their own days. The Christians have Sundays. We have other religions have other days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us this day of Jummah every week for us. So we should maximize and make use of this day of Jummah. They say that you only understand the value of something after it is gone. قَدْرُ النِّعْمَةِ بَعْدَ الزَّوَالِ, that a person will only appreciate a ni'mat after it has been taken away from him. Example, a person has parents. So we hear many people ask anyone who has lost parents, he will tell you himself that how valuable a parent is and how much he misses his parents and how he wishes. Every person, if you ask him, he'll say, I spent more time with my mother. I wish I spent more time with my father. I should have done this for them. I should have done that for them. Only after the parent has been taken away from them, then only they realize how valuable it is. So while we are alive and our heart is beating and we are able to carry out good deeds, while our ruh and our soul is still in our body, we should maximize this day. Ulama say that day of Jumu'ah especially, we should try and make abundant of Durood Sharif. With abundant of Durood Sharif, we should also make abundant istighfar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 70 times daily, even though Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ma'soom, sinless. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no sins, but yet he used to ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned about our elders that one pious person, that after he used to come out from the toilet, before entering the toilet, he would read his dua, and after coming out of the toilet, he would read his dua, and he would mention, out from the toilet, well, how the dua starts, غفرانك. Meaning of that is, oh Allah, forgive me, forgive us. Why, when you're coming out of the toilet, why are you asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness? Ulama mentioned that this person mentioned that the reason why you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness when you're coming out of the toilet is because of the time in the toilet when you were not able to make his zikr. Because you cannot read Quran in the toilet, you can't make zikr in the toilet, you can't take Allah's name in the toilet. So for that time that is spent without the ni'am, without the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without his zikr, you are asking forgiveness for that. That is why when you sing the dua, you say, Ghufranak. So we should make the most of the day of Jummah. Mentioned the Durood Sharif, then we should make istighfar and Quran Sharif. We should recite our Surah Kahf. It is mentioned in Surah Kahf. When a person recites Surah Kahf, then there is a column of Noor above his head all the way to the heavens that protects him from one Friday to the next from all harm and difficulties. And on that day when Dajjal will come, Dajjal will roam the earth and he will cause destruction and havoc on this earth. And people will be following him like in throes, millions and hundreds of thousands of people will be following him. And he will fall prey. He will say, I am Allah, I am God. And people will fall prey to him and they will get fooled. And the only person who will be saved are the true Muslims. And also it is mentioned that the person who recites the Surah Kahf, on the day when Dajjal will be running havoc in this earth, he will be saved from the fitna of Dajjal. So we should all try our best. And also especially, it is mentioned about the last, after Asr, between Asr and Maghrib on a Friday, du'as are readily accepted. It is one of those moments which there are few moments of acceptance that are mentioned in the hadith. That these moments any dua that is made in these moments is more likely accepted. It is accepted very quickly and easily by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all have needs, we all want something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that time between Asr and Maghrib, even if we are busy with work, in our hearts, while we are doing our work, ask, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One does not have to sit on the musalla and raise his hands. That obviously is the best. But if a person is not able to do so, he's busy with responsibilities, then in his heart, think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask whatever you want, talk to your Allah. Ask Him for, present your needs, whatever need you have, ask it of Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant it to you. My dear brothers, in this world, in this dunya, in whatever condition we are, a Muslim, in whatever condition he is, whether he is wealthy, whether he is poor, a person sometimes, they started from nothing, and they become very wealthy, and on the other hand, a person is very wealthy, and then disaster strikes, and he loses everything, and he is poor again. Or whether a person, so, when a person is, everything is going well for him, his business is going well, his family life is going well, everything, is all his goals, he's achieving all his goals, everything, the stars just seem to be aligning for him, then it is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test his shukr, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing to see that I'm giving this banda of mine, I'm giving him everything what he wants. When he's asking for me, I'm giving it to him. Now let's see what he does. Does he make sure all those ni'mats what I have given to him, all that wealth that I have given to him, does he use it correctly or does he use it incorrectly? So having a lot of wealth and being wealthy and prosperous is also a test. And that's the test of our shukr. And also, when the opposite, when a person is going through hard times, nothing seems to be working out, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, so to say, then it is a test of his sabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing his patience, that I will put my banda, my slave, I want to see what he does. I'm putting him through a series of difficulties. I want to see what he does. Does he forget me? Does he remember me? Who does he turn to when he needs, when he is in difficulty? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see us. What's our reaction? What do we do? And then, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the Quran it is mentioned, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that we should not always remember that between every difficulties are ease. That's the meaning of the ayat, that in between every two difficulties are ease. When a person is going through a difficulty, then he should remain Allah conscious and remember that any difficulty he has is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he reaches that ease, then he should also remember and make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole thing, the whole reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us through the series of tests and tribulations, to see whether we are Allah conscious, to build us in us that Allah consciousness, the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that wherever I am, I could be in the darkest dungeon in the bottom of the earth, I can be in the highest point in the sky, I can be in the most secure vault in the world, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what I'm doing. So in the same way, when any of these car manufacturing companies, when they build a car, then they will put it through a series of crash tests and stress tests and safety tests to see whether this car, whether it's fit to be, whether it is roadworthy. Whether this car is roadworthy, whether it is fit to be driven by someone on the road. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us in this dunya and tests us with all different kinds of tests to see whether we are jannat worthy, whether we are worthy of entering into jannat. How often are we thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much we are thinking, how much we are turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A sahabi, that he was very ill. He was extremely ill. It was well known amongst the other sahaba that this sahabi became very, very ill. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and he decided to visit the sahabi. So the sahabi is a story, an example on how we should present our needs and ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the effect of dua and turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired about the sahabi that how are you, how is your health? So the sahabi complained that he's very, very ill. He's extremely ill. He is bedridden. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him that when you were healthy, did you make any dua? What dua did you make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the sahabi said that, I always make this dua that when, Ya Allah, whatever difficulties I am going through in this world, whatever difficulties, pardon, whatever punishments I'm going to get in the akhirat, whatever of wrong I'm doing, don't punish me in the akhirat, punish me in this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him all these very severe sicknesses and he's suffering because of that. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became upset, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not say this. If a person makes this kind of dua, then it is as if you are saying that I am strong enough to endure the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. It is like as if you are challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that punish me. I want some punishment in this world. I can manage it. I can handle it. And don't give me any punishment in the akhirah. Whereas our attitude is supposed to be different. We should be seeking protection from any kind of punishment. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him that, O sahabi, make this dua and said, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That, oh Allah, save me from, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. Give me, in this world, give me the best. Give me the best in this world and وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. And give me the best in the akhirah. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And save me from the hellfire, save me from the... He made this dua, he began making this dua. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala readily accepted his dua, and within a short while he was cured. And so this is a story to illustrate to us that how a person, anytime he makes dua, how can he... Sometimes we say that I'm making dua but it's not having any effect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the dua of a believer is never and never rejected. One of three things happen. Either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has a need. Example, he wants a certain clothing, he wants... The Sahaba radiallahu anhum would even turn and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a shoelace. That's how much of reliance they had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person, he wants a certain item, or he wants a piece of clothing or something, and we should not feel shy to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone might see that I feel shy to ask Allah ta'ala for something so small. Whatever we want, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not have that shyness and feel hard to ask. We should openly present our needs before Allah ta'ala. One of three things happen when a person makes dua. Either his dua is accepted. Example, he made dua for a certain shoe. He gets that shoe. Within a few days, within a few weeks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him that thing immediately. The second thing that happens when a person makes dua is that a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give him what he asked for. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes a difficulty that was going to afflict him. Example, you made dua for that shoe, and then later on that day or the next week, a person was supposed to meet in an accident or something, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of giving him the shoe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, the shoe is not, this is not good for you at this time. Rather, I remove this difficulty that I was supposed to afflict you. That is better for you for now. And that's the second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do. And the third thing will happen is, when a person makes dua, either we mentioned his dua will accept it, or either a calamity is removed from his path, or number three is a person, he does not, neither of those two things happen. The third thing is, a person will be rewarded in the akhirah. His reward is saved for him in the akhirah. And when he goes, when he passes away and a person closes his eyes, then he will see the value of his dua. It is mentioned that when a person, when he passes away, and when he sees, when his eyes open and he sees how much reward there was for dua, then he would wish that he spent his entire life in dua. That's how much of reward a person gets for dua. So while we can, we should always try and make dua, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This can be likened, an example can be likened to a person who is traveling. You may have heard this example, through a dark cave or a dark place, and suddenly he hears a voice that the stones on the floor, pick it up and collect as much as you can. So this person, he doesn't know, he can't see. So he doesn't know what these stones are. He just knows they feel round and they feel like stones. So he puts one, two in his pocket and he carries one, two, doesn't think much of it. But when he exits the darkness and he exits that cave and he goes to the gems and jewels, then he will realize that, hey, such valuable things are left behind. And he will not be able to go back. So that cave is this world. The stones are our good actions. And that person is us. So while we are in this world, we may not see the value now. We may not see the value and the reward we are getting. But we should know in our hearts and have yaqeen that our reward is waiting for us on the day of Qiyamah. And we should gather as much as we can in this time. Now, with all these things we have mentioned, Allah consciousness, developing Allah consciousness, developing taqwa, and turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the major things that will stop a person, that prevents a person, it's a roadblock to him reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a committing of sins. Sin, and very, 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 a sin that can be done very easily, without anyone knowing, is that sin of casting evil glances. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned many, many warnings in the hadith regarding this sin. And the sin is so, outwardly it seems so small, it can be done in a few seconds, a few minutes, and a person forgets about it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking. And all his deeds are being recorded. He's mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا, that do not even go close to zina. Zina, adultery, is one of the most severe forms of sin. Heavily criticized, and in the Quran and the Hadith. And the ayat says, do not go close to zina. The ayat doesn't say, don't commit zina, don't commit adultery. The ayat says, do not go close to adultery. So, ulama say that means all avenues that lead to adultery and zina, the ayat is referring to stay away from all those things. And what will that include? That will include casting of evil glances. If a person does not cast an evil gaze, then the likelihood of him committing adultery and zina is very low. So, and also, it is mentioned that when we say adultery, there are many types of adultery. Can be if a person is talking, he's using his fingers, zina of the fingers, he's using his fingers to talk to that haram person. He's using zina of the person, he's using his legs to walk towards that person. Or zina of the hands, he's using it to touch the wrong person. So all these things are all different types of zina. And ulama mentioned that when in the hadith, some ulama say that in the hadith, whenever zina is mentioned, that it refers to all the forms of zina. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that in one hadith, that the evil glance is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described it, and he drew a parable for us, he likened it to a poisonous arrow from shaitan. When a person, he casts that evil glance, then it is a poisonous arrow from shaitan. That now when a poisonous arrow goes into a person, then he is poisoned. And unless a person, because when a person sees something what he's not supposed to see, and he is attracted and is enticed, then it remains in his heart. The poison remains in his heart. Then when he's performing his salah, he's doing his ibadat, and the picture comes back to him, and it stays a place on his mind, and the person is restless. Stay away from casting evil glances. A person, as soon as it is mentioned that an accidental glance, there is no punishment for it. If a person is walking down the street and he sees what he's not supposed to see and he looks away immediately, then there is no sin for that. A person is forgiven for that. There is no sin. But if a person has to look again, he knows that he's not supposed to be looking and he looks again, then that from that point, a person is sinful. However, we should not be abused that a person say that the first glance is no sin. So it takes a long first glance, 2-3 minutes, now long first glance, and he says, yeah, no, no guna, no sin, because only one glance it took. We should not be playing with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Bani Israel. They were playing with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to fish on a certain day. So they cast the nets on that day, the day before. And they took out the nets on that day. So they said that we never fish on this day. Then Allah, what was the end result of them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned them into monkeys. So we should try our best, level best. If we see anything we're not supposed to see, we should immediately lower our gaze. And if we are, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned another hadith, لَعْنَهُ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرَ وَالْمَنْظُورُ إِلَيْهِ. Another very important point, that the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon the looker, the one who is looking, and the one who is being looked at. So the explanation of this, let us first go, dissect the first part. لَعْنَهُ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse is upon the person who is looking. Imagine the greatest of all beings, the king of all kings, the most powerful being, the most powerful deity ever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to harm someone, he wants to protect someone, no one can stop that person from being harmed. That's the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just has to say something, just has to say be, and it happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so powerful. That being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he curses a person. Imagine being cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses the looker, the one who is looking. A person, as I said, walking down the street, he sees something and he carries on looking. Then he falls under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wal manzurun ilayh, another important, very important point. Ulama mentioned this is often overlooked, that a person says that I don't look at any people of the opposite gender. But when he goes out, then he presents himself in such a way that to be looked at. He wants people to look at him. He wants all the other people to look at him. The opposite gender, he is attracting. He is dressed in such a way and he carries himself in such a way that he attracts the gaze of the opposite gender. Then he will fall under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a person, he's just carrying on his normal life, how he normally, he's not dressing up fancy, he's not doing anything to attract attention, and if someone looks at him, then there's no sin on him because he has not done anything to attract that. So we should remember these two things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse is upon the looker and upon the one who is being looked at, if he is presenting himself and acting in such a way that he wants to be seen. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith that three eyes, there are three types of eyes, or three types of people who will not see Jahannam. So the first eye is the eye that guarded the path, meaning the person is on, example, is guarding his neighborhood watch, CPF. The first two, in that time, the battles, the person who was watching, keeping on watch whilst the others were resting. So that person's eye will never see the eye of the fire of Jahannam. The second person is the person who cried out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he was so scared of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he did not want to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama mentioned that when we say fear of Allah, it does not literally mean that we are scared of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are two types of fear. One fear is that a person is scared of a lion. How he is scared of a lion? He's terrified of a lion. And the second type of fear is, example, a person fears his wife or his mother, not as in scared of them, but you love them and you care about them so much that you do not want to do anything to displease them or make them upset. Type of fear that we have, we're supposed to be having for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not of the first type. We don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like a lion, like something is going to happen to us, paralyzing fear. Mustn't be terrified of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, we should fear Him like how we fear our mothers. When we were small, how we used to fear our mother, that we don't make our mother upset, we don't do anything to hurt the feelings of our mother. Like that we should be fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person cries with this feeling, then his eye will never see the fire of Jahannam. And the third type that ulama mentioned, that a person who lowers his gaze, he controls his gaze, he controls his eyes, that person will not, his eye will never see the fire of Jahannam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal on whatever has been said, and to protect our gaze, protect ourselves, and to stay safe and to be protected from all the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.